of all the things that a person can have, certainly something which is very useful and helpful is that which has come to be referred to as a friend in high places. Do any of us have that? I marveled in the past at those who have a friend from childhood who has grown up to become someone influential or truly famous or powerful. Imagine the advantages that would instantly come to a person as a result of having a lifelong friend who all of a sudden would become a governor or a senator or the president himself. All at once, you'd have that comforting assurance that you had access to someone who could really turn things around, who could really help you out, or could really come to your aid. How nice it must be for those who have a friend in high places. How nice it is for us that we have a friend in the very highest place. We are still in close proximity to the time when the Christian church lifts its song in praise and appreciation for the lifting up of Jesus. We are still close to the celebration of our Lord's ascension. And one of the portions of Scripture which directs our attention upwards is the opening chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where these words are found. He, that is God, set him, Christ, at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Due to the casualness with which we typically use the word friend, it might seem like a lightweight term to use to describe the relationship that we have with Jesus. But the term is nothing short of remarkable when one considers how the relationship began. As we look at the natural condition in which we were born, we see that we were, in fact, by nature, the Lord's enemies. By nature, human beings don't know God, they don't want God, they certainly don't like God. All the anti-Christian sentiment which the world hurls against the church reveals man's natural depravity and hatred toward God, the very hatred for God with which we all began our lives, and which our old sinful Adam continues to display. But God has a way of winning over his enemies. God has a son, whom he sent to bear the punishment for the sins of this rebellious world. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when the human race was kicking and rebelling and thrusting God away, he was befriending. And he has proven himself to be the friend of the highest order. The hymn writer hit it on the head. He didn't just write, "Yes, we have a friend in Jesus," but what a friend we have in Jesus. Who of us would be inclined to befriend someone who was attacking us? Who of us would love someone who hates us? Who of us would give up life in order to rescue someone who is opposed to us? But Jesus did. "Greater love has no one than this," he said, "that a man lay down his life for his friends." Continuing later, "From now on I do not call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made plain to you." This love which the Lord has for us is a converting love. It alone is able to penetrate the rockiness of our natural hearts and get them beating with a love for him. His love is what initiates the friendship between us, which runs deeper and is stronger than any other on earth. It is what makes Jesus our closest friend. Paul says that God gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Certainly nothing is more interrelated or closely bound than a head to a body. That's the picture the Apostle Paul uses to illustrate the close connection between Christ and the Christian. Friends who are particularly close are sometimes referred to with exaggerated expression, as being inseparable. But there's no exaggeration when it is said about Christ and the believer. "Nothing can separate us," Paul wrote, "from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Wonderful enough that this friend of ours is ever faithful, ever true, always on the lookout for you. How much more wonderful then when we realize where we have this friend. Not just in high places, but in the highest place. God set Christ at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Paul seems to almost exhaust his Greek vocabulary, trying to come up with as many words as he can in presenting the inexhaustible strength and power of our Lord Jesus. Christ is above them all. When he ascended into heaven and reassumed his position at the right hand of the Father, he once again put into full use the supreme power which he humbly set aside during the time of his humiliation. There's nothing outside his reach, nothing beyond his control. "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." He flexes and the earth shakes. He wills it and it happens. He desires it, and it is done. And how does he use this supreme power which he possesses? For one thing only, the good of his church, the benefit of his people. Certainly the one who gave up his life for his friends will live up to his promise, his top promise, and that is to make our eternal welfare his main concern. The Lord's ascension should be a source of great comfort and joy to us, as it assures us that the one who is in control is our closest friend. Or to flip it around, our closest friend is in the one who is in control of absolutely everything. There at the right hand of the Father, he continually intercedes for us, showing the scars which mark the completion and success of his atonement on our behalf. From there at the right hand of the Father, he sends forth the Spirit to work saving faith in the heart. There at the right hand of the Father, he wears the crown of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler of all things, for the benefit of his own. So do you need a favor? Do you need some help? Could you use a friend in high places? Well, we've got one. He's the friend who paid the highest price for our salvation, his own precious blood and innocent life. He's the friend who has bonded us to himself as closely as a head is attached to a body. He is the one who has made it to the top. Jesus has ascended, promising all the way to control things with our best interests in mind. Christ's triumph means trophies for us. His ruling and governing means good things for us. His power means peace for us. In him we have a friend of the highest order. In him we have a friend in the highest place. Of him we sing this morning in the form of hymn 367.